Can you hear me?
Yep, we here.
All right, perfect.
So, all right, it's your boy, Meech Rose, and I'm here with...
My name is Big Yovani. We're starting off a podcast here. We always wanted to do this. So, he's a Spurs fan. I'm a big Laker fan. He's so. A
big Lakers fan.
Yeah, so, you know, we're going to be biased.
Just a little bit. Not too biased, but just it's going to be a tap.
You know, if either team is on some bullshit, we're going to call them out, obviously.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm a realistic fan to an extent. So, you know.
Yeah, we know what our teams are capable of.
Work.
But so, let's start off this episode by talking about our bracket that we have for the playoffs, who we think is going to advance.
Yep. We didn't talk about how many games we think that is going to go to.
So we just have a general idea of
who's going to win.
Yeah.
So we could talk about that, and we can, you know, try to get into that
the games
a little bit today.
Yeah. So I guess we should start with the – you want to start with the East or the West?
We can start with the East.
The East. Okay, so right now we have Houston and Golden State and Portland and
Denver. Wow, you're fucking retarded. That's crazy.
Why? Would you say the East?
Yes.
That's wild. I apologize. So we have Boston and Milwaukee and 76ers Toronto.
So we're going to talk about Bucks Celtics, because 76ers in Toronto is pretty obvious where that's going to
be. Yeah. I mean, they lost today, but I don't think they're going to lose another game, personally.
Yeah. So we're going to start with the Bucks and Celtics. You, even though I said, you know, we're going to start with the Bucks and Celtics, you still went on to the Milwaukee one. Or the Sixers. So we're going to start with the Bucks and Celtics.
How many games do you think, first of all?
Well, yeah, I'm thinking like seven, probably.
I'm thinking seven, too, because last year they went to seven.
Yeah, last year they went to seven, and there's so many different factors now.
Yeah.
So I think that they re-evened out. Like, last year they didn't the Celtics didn't have Kyrie or Gordon Hayward, but last year the Bucks didn't have an actual coach.
Or so I think MVP, yeah. Giannis.
I think they had MVP Giannis last year.
No, because they were, what, 6 seed or something like that?
Something similar. But I think Giannis was as destructive then as he is now. He'll fuck up a whole, like, he'll really mess up your whole, like, series.
Yeah. Now, that was our biggest question mark series. We didn't know who could win that series, honestly.
Real talk, I didn't know. I couldn't figure out. Like, we were really struggling with that one.
We picked Milwaukee.
Yeah.
That series could either go either way.
Real talk. So I have no, like, we chose Milwaukee, but I have no idea who's really going to win it, to be completely honest. But, you know, the Celtics are out. The Celtics don't have Marcus Smart anymore.
So yeah, that was a factor. Really good defender.
Yeah, but Al Horford has been doing a great job on Giannis, I could definitely see this series getting to like seven games.
Yeah, Hall of Fame Al Horford.
Bro, Al Horford is slept on, bro. I've seen people talking about, y'all, the Shaq of this generation getting bullied by Franklin the Turtle, you know what I'm saying? They really don't know Al Horford like that, bro. Yeah.
Let's not forget, 2015, him and the Hawks won 60. I mean, I know that team was a joke, but still. They won 60.
Yeah, that's facts. And then you got Al Horford. He's that guy, bro. Like, he's one of the top defending centers in the league. And he's 6'10". That's amazing to me. Like,
any center that's good, Embiid. I mean, Giannis isn't a center, but, you know, obviously they're playing him like one.
They're playing their center on him.
Yeah, they're playing his center on him. Any person you want over guarding, he's gonna guard good.
Any big man outside of probably like a guard, I think he could do a decent job guarding anyone. Like, I should look up what his defensive rating is, but I don't feel like doing that right now. He's disgusting though.
Yeah, and I know he's the probably Celtics, the best defender, the big man defender.
Yeah, probably him and Embiid are fighting for that. So yeah.
But I mean, I see people on Twitter all the time talking about Embiid being the best center, but I can't give him that title just because he hasn't played a full season like ever.
Yeah. That's facts. I think how many games did he play this season? Like 60?
Something like that, because he was injured and also he was missing games in the playoffs. I mean, how many did he miss? One because of his knee or something?
Yeah, probably something similar. I just know, like, I can't give him that title because he's too young and he hasn't been in the league long enough for me.
Yeah.
So, I just couldn't give him that title.
Yeah, besides the point, we have Milwaukee going, advancing to the conference finals, but that it could go either way, honestly.
It really
I wouldn't be surprised if the Celtics took it.
Yeah, and also the team we have facing them the next round, which we kind of gave away earlier, but we're not going to speak on it again until we get to that area. The team we have them advancing against in the second round, I don't see that team losing to anyone personally in the East. So it doesn't really make a difference too much.
Yeah. And I've seen the Celtics, they just look like they're playing good with each other. You know what I'm saying? Like in the first, I don't know, I want to say like 3 months of the season, they didn't really know how to play with each other.
See, I disagree. Like I think they played with each other fine. I just don't think that they liked each other on the court. Embiid played 64 games this season, by the way.
64.
Yeah. So that's not really great.
It's every year, too.
And on top of that, not only did he play 64 games this season, you can tell he's, like, very winded because of this. Like, you can see it in his gameplay. His leg, you can tell he doesn't have all four of his legs under him. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, it's also the knee, too.
Yeah, and he's hurt. He's hobbled. So, yeah, that's another thing. But what were we talking about, like, right before we started talking about Embiid?
You said that you didn't think they like each other on the court when they were playing the Celtics.
So I don't think they liked each other. But if you look at all, like, the big games, like, there's a few of them. But the one that's coming to my head off rip was, I believe, the Lakers game. Even though that isn't really a big game because they weren't a playoff contender at the time.
Is that the one we saw? Are you talking about B-dubs?
One we saw at B-dubs. You could tell that they knew how to play with each other.
Yeah. No, I think they know how to play with each other, but I think they don't prefer to play with everybody on the court, if that makes sense.
See, I disagree. I think they can't. I think they don't mind playing with everybody on the court. It's just that all of the players want to get their buckets. Aside from Al Horford, he doesn't give a fuck. But the youth wants to get their buckets. Like,
yeah, they want to get their playing time just because Hayward and Kyrie came back. They're taking the minutes.
Yeah, so I think that they like Terry Rozier. I haven't been watching a bunch of Celtics games, so I'm gonna use references that I've heard. I've seen people talk about how Terry Rozier has been not bad, but he looks like he's just been taking everything. You know what I mean? Like it looks like he hasn't had a lot of touches.
No, yeah, I've watched a couple Celtics games, but yeah, Rozier does not look the same from last year.
Is it because he looks like he's looking to get his points and his stats more, or is it because he looks like he's just not as good?
I would want to say it's both. I do know also that they offered him an extension to his contract and he declined it, so he's a free agent this summer.
Oh shit, that's gonna be fun.
So I'm not sure if this is gonna mess it up how he's playing now.
You know what's crazy? I was thinking about him last year. I was thinking about where he would go if he went to a different team and like how it would work for him. And I was thinking the Magic. But now the Magic have Markelle Fultz, who's a project player.
Yeah, if he turns out to be what you know a number one pick, then
if he turns out to be like 75% of what he was supposed to be, he's gonna be pretty fucking gross.
Yeah.
So,
but what's it called? I'm not sure about Rozier.
So, real quick before we move on. On the topic of Rozier, where do you think that he would have his best chance of being the starting point guard on the team? You know what I mean? Like,
I'm going to tell you the team, but it's a horrible organization, which is the Phoenix Sun, because they just need a point guard.
Oh, man, they need one so bad. I mean, they got Tyler Johnson, but, like, first of all, they got him, like, super late into the season, and I don't think Tyler Johnson is a really good point guard like that.
Yeah. No, and Rozier, so, he's a starting point guard. I mean, he's not going to be an all-star, but he's going to be a star, at least. If that makes sense.
Nah, I don't think he's going to be that. I don't think that's where his trajectory is.
You think he can be an all-star?
Nah, I don't think he'll be there either. I think he'll be, like, a mid-tier NBA player. Like, really good, but, like, he's not, like, he's not a max deal kind of guy. He's not.
No, yeah, I see him
being, like, probably around $10 to $15 million guy for the rest of his career. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, I don't think he's going to be an all-star, but I think he's going to be like a star, like a decent
a point stud. Guard,
you know?
You think he's going to be like a stud?
Yeah.
I don't think you'll ever be able to build a team around him.
No. I think he who do you think he resembles?
All time or like right now?
No, like right now, like what type of player do you think he is?
What type of player?
I feel like he's a Dragic. Like, he's not a good...
Yeah, that's like a good one. That's a good
you
one.
Know, not like a super-duper good point guard that you can build your team around, but you want him on your team. You know what I'm saying?
I think he could be like a cool like Jeremy Lin. A cool like Jeremy Lin or a cool Dennis Schroeder. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think he can be solid, and I think he can be a good pickup for whatever team picks him up.
Yeah.
I just don't think he's going to be a fucking, like...
All-star, all-NBA type player.
All-NBA is, like, a different level to all-star to me. So I don't even think he's, like, an all-star caliber player. I don't think he will get there. But I think he'll be a solid player that demands $10 to $15 million.
Yeah, and what, maybe 30, 35 minutes?
Yeah, probably, yeah. A starting caliber player. Yeah, so, and I think that 10 to 15 million, I don't think that will be a bad contract. You know what I mean?
A burden.
Like, certain players, they demand a $10 to $15 deal. And
but they don't
$15 million deserve deal, it. And they kind of, like,
stuck.
But I think that won't be bad money spent. You know what I mean?
Yeah, me neither. Yeah, I agree.
I think it's... So, again, who did we say was going to win this series?
The Bucks? We have the Bucks.
Yeah, so let's talk about the Bucks a little bit. With the Bucks right now, they definitely need to change up their tactics. Like, mm-hmm. they really
well,
need to change
thing,
up their tactics.
Well, the thing also... Did you watch the game or no?
Yeah, I watched bits. I watched, like, the first half, and then I kind of fell asleep on it.
I feel like they were playing really good, like the first half.
Yeah, and definitely.
Around the third, fourth quarter, that's when they really dropped off. And I'm not sure, maybe that was just the defense of Horford, or if they just weren't hitting the shots or anything.
Well,
but
of course they're going to drop off, because when your star athlete comes in at the third quarter, and that's when he starts to do his thing. The Warriors were always great in the third quarter, because that's when you have all your stars in and they do their thing.
Mm-hmm.
DeMar DeRozan in that Nuggets series, he was pretty much bad in every quarter except for the third quarter, where he would come alive and Derek White would carry them for the first half or whatever. And then LaMarcus would probably take the fourth quarter. So I think that it's the star player factor that comes in the third quarter. And I'm sure that if you look at the stats, Kyrie – he did his thing in the fourth or in the third quarter. I'm sure Gordon Hayward did his thing. Tatum did his thing in the third quarter. That's because that's when, you know, stars are at their best. They're in the game. They've gotten a feel for the game. They gotten a feel for the crowd and the refs. And that's a big factor in the playoffs. The refs are a huge factor in the playoffs to me.
Now, a little bit more on that, on the refs. Do you think, I know this is changing topics, but
that's fine,
you know, for a little bit. Do you think with what happened in Golden State is going to affect any ruling on how they do the landing space for shooters?
Well,
just because it's getting a lot of media attention.
Yeah, so maybe. But the thing to me is, like, with the Harden thing, he kicks his feet out.
No, so 100%.
To force you to get into his shooting space. So if he was to just – because, like, if you've seen him shoot at the three-point contest, he doesn't kick his feet.
Yeah, I seen that on Twitter.
Yeah, you seen the video? Yeah. So yeah. He doesn't kick his feet. He goes straight up. But when he's playing in-game, he kicks his feet because he wants to draw the foul. So
now, I don't know about you, but I saw some of them, probably one or two at max, did look like a foul. I'm not going to lie to you.
Oh,
but
yeah. No, there was
a couple where you saw he just threw his legs out. And even if a defender wasn't doing that and he shot it that way, it looks like he would fall. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I'm sure. Listen, the thing is, I'm pretty sure, like, pretty much all of those were fouls. But it's not but the defender literally can't do anything about it. It's like, it's nothing he can do to stop that from being a foul, because he's landing right where he went up, and James Harden is landing under him. Not landing under him, but like landing where his feet are.
Yeah.
So he's like kind of purposefully putting himself there. You know what I mean? So it's like, yes, they're fouls. So maybe you should call them, but you shouldn't reward that kind of bullshit.
Yeah. It's really boring, and
it's I'm pretty sure the game plan going into that was to force Golden State to foul.
And, you know, actually, I was watching, I believe it was First Take.
Yep, that's,
and Stephen A. said that Golden State went up to the refs and let them know that Harden does this, you know, kicks out his feet. Mm-hmm. So for them just to, it was the jump and what's it called? Scotty was saying, but they were saying that he, Scotty Pippen. They went up to the refs and just notified them about this. So that's why they were a little bit more cautious of calling, fouls. Yeah.
And that's probably unethical. You know what I mean?
But
you got to do what you got to do. At some point, you can't just get bullied. Like somebody using the authority to bully you into points and shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And then also, I heard Draymond was interviewing, and he said,
fouled on James Harden shots when he shoots threes. Yeah. And that's a fact. He kicks his feet out. He kicks you. You know what I mean? You can't be doing that. You know what I mean?
No, yeah. 100%.
It's just not. The way Harden plays is frustrating. It's really annoying. But, like, he does. But it's also super fun when he's actually shooting field goals. It's fun to watch. It's amazing. But when he's, like, shooting free throws for fucking 18 hours straight, you know, like, that shit's annoying. It gets irritating. Yeah.
No, yeah, I understand where you're coming from. We have the same opinion on that.
Yeah, we have the same opinion on a lot of things.
That's it. That's good. Moving on to Philly and Toronto.
We never got into where we were going to take the Bucks, or like we never got into talking about how we think the Bucks are going to pull it out.
Oh, okay. So one main thing I think that needs to happen is Brogdon come back.
Yeah, but is he coming back in the series?
They said the second round, so I'm not 100% sure.
In the beginning of the game, they said that he should be missing the first two games and getting reevaluated after the second game. So if he was to come back, that's going to shift the whole because it might not seem like a major thing because he's just Malcolm Brogdon, but that nigga was rookie of the year.
Yeah, and he was, wasn't he like 90, 40, 50 shooter or something like that?
I don't know.
No, I believe he was. So he was.
Yeah, and it's, and to be fair, I can believe it because it's easy to get your shots when you have 6'11" Giannis doing his goddamn thing. You know what I mean?
Now, do you think he's the second best player to that team, or is that Chris?
Yeah, that's Chris. That's Chris. Honestly, easy.
Honestly, I don't think so. I think it's
bro. Dog. Dog, this nigga Chris. This nigga Chris walked into a three-pointer in the first field goal of the game. Walked into a three-pointer and dead shot it in somebody's throat, bro. Like,
who do you think they would miss more?
Definitely, probably Chris, yeah. Because Chris is the reason you can run Giannis at the four. Because if you have, where are you going to, what are you going to start, Tony Snell? And that's no disrespect to Tony Snell, because I'm also a Bulls fan because I'm from Chicago. That's no disrespect to Tony Snell. He's good. He's
not spot up
shooter, but he's not Chris Middleton.
Or yeah, that
he's not Malcolm Brogdon. And I think Brogdon's too short to run the three. So Middleton is what, 6'8", 6'6", 6'7"?
Yeah, 6'8".
I'm pretty sure he's 6'8", but whatever. 6'8". He's tall enough and big enough and can score well enough and can defend well enough to play the three. Brogdon can't play the three. So you'll have to put Giannis at the three. And then that's going to force him to – I don't know. I just know Giannis plays better at the four, even though he's still listed as a three.
Now, I think Brooke Lopez and Nico Mirotic, I think they just if they go off for like 15 each at least and they get Brogdon back, I feel like that's how they could win the series. Or at least have them, you know, favored
you
them.
You said Brooke Lopez and who?
And Nico Mirotic, because he came back from his thumb injury, I believe.
So you said 16 a piece?
15, 16 at least.
So Brooke Lopez, I don't think he needs 16.
What do you think?
I think he only needs about 10.
10 and then what, three blocks? Because that's what he's – I believe that's what he's been averaging, like three blocks, I want to say.
Word?
I think
probably like 10 and three. Maybe two. I don't think he needs to be the focal point of the offense enough to have to average 16. You know what I mean?
No, I understand, but just his he's been like amazing from 3-point. You know
word. That's facts. Word. He's dude, they call him the Splash Mountain. He's disgusting.
For a reason.
He ain't to be trifled with.
Yeah. So yeah, I think they at least need to average, to me at least, 15, 16 each, I feel like.
So nah, bro. Cause like I think maybe Mirotic needs to average 16.
And then what, Brooke, 10 you said or something?
10 and 3, yeah. So I need Giannis to give me more than what he's been giving me. So he's talented, and they're going to give him the jumpers. They're going to give him the jumpers a lot. I know they are.
Yeah.
So he just needs to start making them at least a 35%.
He had three threes in
game one. Yeah, I think he went 3 for 5.
Yeah.
But, like, not just three-pointers. Even though it's the most useless shot in the game, the mid-range jumper, they're going to give him that too.
Yeah, so I believe he could hit that. He is that, not consistently, but you have to respect it, at least.
You have to respect everything, because he shoots. And I'm pretty sure, what is he, 29 from three?
Yeah, 29.
That could kill you. That 29% could kill you, you know? So, yeah. You don't need him to shoot much, but once you start respecting him on the outside and he forces his defender out,
he can just
drive straight into the lane.
Yeah.
But one thing I saw with him was there was a drive where he went baseline and Horford came up on him and Brook Lopez was wide open in the corner and he missed him. That you have to see that.
Yeah.
You absolutely have to see that. That's I understand that, you know, you're Giannis. What is he averaging, like 4 assists? You have to see that though.
Yeah. Cuz and it's not like
see Horford coming, you have to think, where is he coming from? Who was open? You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's not like he's a low IQ player or doesn't know how to pass, because he does.
100% he does. So you just have to – he has to watch.
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure they had Morris on him, and they just collapsed with Horford. Yep. You can hear me?
You're on him, I believe.
Hello?
What's up?
You can hear me, right?
Yeah.
All right, cool. We had a – it was – I heard a sound. Whatever. That's besides the point. we still getting used to the format. We've never done this before, so, you know, we have
a hard time. Yeah, so obviously it's going to be a process, so we apologize if we mess up.
Yeah, and currently we're not in the same room while we're recording this, so you're going to hear a lot of technical difficulties. Kind of
yeah. But next time we do an episode, we should be together in Chicago.
Yeah, so we should be coming to you from Chicago, my personal favorite place to be.
Yeah,
so
that podcast anyway, most likely would be better.
It'd be twice as good, simply because we'll have more
we'll be in the same
more time to put into it, and you know, we'll have more experience with the app.
Yeah, and most likely we are going to be doing a live reaction, I want to say, to a couple games while we're there.
Yeah, that's the plan. We'll figure out which games will be happening during that time,
and then we'll just plan accordingly from that.
Exactly. So,
but what were we talking before we had a little
technical difficulty? We were talking about the Bucks and Giannis missing Brook Lopez in the corner. But we're done with that conversation at this point.
Are we moving on then?
Yeah, we're moving on.
Let's just recap real quick. So we have Milwaukee. How many games do you have? 7, correct?
Yes, sir.
And I have 7 too. So let's go with Philly and Toronto.
Philly and Toronto. So with Philly, the only thing I can think of that can make them win this series is luck.
luck, yeah. And a whole lot of luck.
Yeah, and everybody except for Ben Simmons spacing the floor.
Yeah. That's really going to kill them just because of their defense, their Toronto's defense. I believe they know how to really exploit Ben.
Real talk.
I believe today,
they had a game.
Raptors lost, but I think Ben only had 7 points, if I'm correct on that.
Which will fuck you in a series. Yeah. This is another situation. This is the second time that this has happened where Ben has scored less than double figures in a series or in a playoff game. These are pivotal. Every playoff game matters.
Yeah, every game matters. Yes,
he can't be fucking up like that.
Especially if you're like on the road. I know they won, but giving just 7 points, honestly, it's a little sad, to be for real.
Sad isn't the word. Awful, not good. And just what's the word I'm looking for? I'm disappointed. Like you can't play like that. You just simply can't. That's just not okay. You have to, you know what I'm saying? You have to score at least 10. Come on, bro.
He could get to the line.
He averages, 16?
Yeah, something like that.
Somewhere in there. So, if you can at least score 10, that will put your team in a different position mm-hmm. than if you score 7. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Fuck it.
So I actually watched the game live. Now, mm-hmm. they were lucky that Toronto did not hit some open shots. It was, I believe, Danny Green had a couple open shots and did not make them, surprisingly.
Big spur, Danny Green.
I also know that Kyle Lowry in, like, the final seconds tried to put the ball.
Oh, my God, I've seen that.
Yeah, he tried to put the ball through, I want to say, Tobias' legs.
It looked like Tobias.
Yeah, I believe it was Tobias, and that just messed up everything.
Word, like, so that's just...
Like, they were bro. Lucky. They were
like,
for that game.
We're talking about Ben Simmons and his, you know, scoring efforts. Kyle Lowry in the last round scored 0 points in a playoff game, bro.
Yeah. Game
are
when
you
they lost.
Fucking kidding me? Like, are you kidding me? You're a star athlete and you're scoring 0 points in a playoff game? And I don't want to hear that bullshit talking about, like, yo, I affected the game in other ways. I don't give a damn. Score some points. Score some
That's
points.
How you would actually affect the game.
That's exactly. That's how you actually affect the game. 8 assists. Cool. That's nice. 10 assists would be better. But 8 assists and 0 points, you didn't really affect the game. You were just lucky everybody made shots. If you passed it to them and they missed it, you wouldn't have affected the game at all.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So, Lowry to me is probably the Raptors' Achilles heel.
Yeah.
Just because sometimes he could make three-pointers, he could make all his shots, you know, and have a pretty decent game, but sometimes he ends up only, you know, not making anything.
Over 9. Like, come on, bro.
Like, today's game, he actually hit 2 back-to-back threes. So, you know he can hit shots. He's an all-star. So, not this year, but, you know, years past.
So, real quick, let me slide this in here. Because the Raptors, for the last 4 to 5 years with DeMar and with Kyle Lowry, they've been known as choke artists. Teams and yeah. DeMar has shown up in his playoff game this year. He showed up in his playoff games this year. What has Kyle Lowry done in his playoff games? Like,
yeah,
you didn't hear a DeMar game where he scored less than 10 points. You didn't see one of
and
those.
To bring that up, remember what I told you? I believe it was like a couple months ago. I would rather if I was the
making
Raptors,
the decisions.
I would have rather try to move Lowry, not for Kawhi, but you know, try to move him for another piece.
Yes.
I don't think the Spurs would want
no.
Kyle Lowry
Fuck no.
for Kawhi.
Fuck no, because we have DeJounte. He's our guy. Did you hear Pop's little exit interview?
Shit, no, what did he say?
He was like, he said some shit like, they were like, yeah, how do you feel about coming in for next year? With the same team, with the same group of guys. And Pop said, it's not the same group of guys.
Yeah.
DeJounte Murray will be back. Like, he's a pivotal piece. He's our starting point guard, and we lost him in the beginning of the season. And we scared the fuck out of Bryn Forbes by making him our starting point guard. Like, out of nowhere, damn near. You know what I'm saying?
But isn't he a shooting guard?
Yeah, he's a two. He's short to be a two. To me, I don't think he needs to be a two. I think he probably plays better at the one. Because he's too fucking short. You know, he's like 6'3". Like, come on now. But he's a two-guard player, and he's just not used to that kind of shit. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? But to me, like, I just genuinely think, like, Kyle Lowry was the problem in that Raptors dynasty.
Yeah, I agree.
If that's what – I don't know another word to call it, even though it's not a dynasty-type team.
Yeah.
Like, Kyle Lowry, I don't hate him. I just don't think about him, you know, because he's just not one of those players. Like, to be completely honest, if somebody was, like, in the scouting report and they got to Kyle Lowry, I just would tune out because he's just not good enough, you know. Like, if I'm a Jimmy Butler.
Do you think he's a starting point guard in the league?
Yeah, in the regular season. in the postseason, I'll take Fred VanVleet, you know?
Fred, yeah.
Real talk. In the regular season, he's a beast, you know? Yeah. He's Kyle Lowry in the regular season with capital letters. In the postseason, he's Kyle Lowry, you know? It's a different type of dude.
But, yeah, if I was the GM or whoever made the move, personally, I would try to move Lowry before anybody else.
Yeah. So, but, the thing is, you had to keep one of them.
Yeah.
And, because that's them two as a unit were the identity of your team. If you trade both of them, that fucks your chemistry all the way up. So you have to keep one. And I think keeping Kyle Lowry was a decent move. You know, in the first like couple of months, he was averaging the most assists in the league. So he's not – it's not like he's absolutely fucking useless. It's just – bro, you're supposed to be a goddamn – I don't want to say – yeah, you're supposed to be a star player. You're supposed to be like – fill time for me while I think of who he's supposed to be like. You're supposed to be like a Damian Lillard in 2014 type of player. You know what I mean? You're supposed to be able to score and get the ball to other people. But really what you're showing me is Rondo in 26 or in this year. You know what I mean? Like getting assists, but you're not getting shit else. You're not doing any. And Rondo is different to me. I think Rondo would even be better in the sense that his IQ is slightly higher.
Slightly, are you kidding me? He's probably one of the best.
Like that, though.
He's one of the best pure point guard, in my opinion, that we've seen in a while.
One of the best. I think Lonzo was like the flag bearer for Rajon Rondo type players. It was Magic, and I'm not comparing Rondo to Magic. I'm just saying, like, in the style of play where you're like a purified point guard and you're a pass first point guard type player, you know, it's a Magic, it's a Rondo, and now I think Lonzo could carry that flag for you guys in that type of way, but you guys have to put the ball in his hands. That's just besides
the point, because when we start talking about the Lakers and the Spurs, we're just gonna be here all day.
All right, yeah, so back to the series. I think that the only thing that can make the Sixers win this series is luck and Kyle Lowry.
Yeah.
Being a complete non-factor. Because if you show yourself to – go ahead.
No, go ahead. You finish your point.
Because if you show yourself to be a non-factor, they're going to pretty much ignore you on defense. And if you don't make them pay for ignoring you on defense, then you're now a minus on the team. Like. Yeah. Now it's like playing 4-on-5. They can double whoever, and they're going to double Kawhi because he's probably the best player off of you. And Ben Simmons is holding you, isn't he? Is Ben Simmons holding Kyle Lowry?
No, Ben Simmons today, I believe he was holding what's his name, Kawhi.
What the fuck? Why? Why?
It was a mixture of Ben Simmons and then also Jimmy.
Yeah. I don't think there's much you can do about Kawhi. You
know? Yeah, so game one, nobody stopped him. Even game two, I think he had 35 today.
So, dude, you can't really be stopped. Dude can't really be stopped. So, and Embiid down low really can't be stopped either. But the thing is, the Raptors have so many good defensive big men that – if you could take advantage of one big man in this way, they're going to switch him out, and then now you have to figure out a new way to take advantage of this big man. And then that other big man is going to come back, and now you have to reprogram your brain to take advantage of – it's going to be a hard
– they're always going to be fresh too.
Yeah, it's going to be a hard series for Embiid. It's going to be so hard for him, and he's probably their best player.
Yeah, you know, by a long shot.
By a fucking mile. Yeah, but he's nowhere near the best player in the series.
No, it's Kawhi. Now, how many games do you think this would take?
I was thinking a sweep before, but they won this one, so I'll probably say six.
Six? I'm going with five.
Yeah, I mean that's an understandable one too. So it could be five or six.
It's just Siakam and Kawhi are the two best players right now on the team.
Yeah, Siakam's fucking gross, bro.
I believe today. God. I want to say he was either today or game one. He had 29.
If I could have him, if I could start a team and build it around a bunch of young cores or a bunch of young players, Siakam would probably be like the second player I chose after probably Tatum. Siakam is something special, bro.
He's probably it's a toss up between him and D'Lo for most improved.
Yeah, dude. Oh my god, D'Lo. I think D'Lo deserves it because he needs some sort of award to say fuck you to Magic, and to show like his progression. Yeah. I don't think Pascal needs any award to show his progression. I think he just silently shows it. You know. I think
especially in the playoffs, just because I believe in the regular season he was averaging, I want to say either 16 or 19. Now he's obviously averaging more.
He's gross, man. He's just amazing, and Pascal's probably like the Raptors had the best bench last year, and that was
honestly.
Yeah. So like,
is Siakam starting or no?
Last year, Siakam is starting this year. Last year, they had Serge and JV Valanciunas. They had JV and Serge in the front court. So then Pascal came off the bench with OG and a newbie, Fred VanVleet. I can't remember who they had running the two. But, you know, those type of players. OG was probably a starter last year, though.
I think OG was a starter. This year, he kind of tailed off. I haven't really
heard of him. He fell off because because Kawhi. What do you mean? They play the same position.
Oh, he's a small forward.
Yeah. He fell off because of Kawhi. Kawhi's presence. And that changes the trajectory. That changes the entire fucking way your team is set up. Because now you have this monster on both ends of the court. So you have to give him the ball. You know, you have to.
Yeah.
You don't really have a choice.
Now, do you think he's going to stay?
If the playoffs turn out the way we have it set up, yes. If it doesn't, then no. And I hope to God that he doesn't stay, because I want to see Kawhi and Patrick Beverley on the same team.
Yeah, that would be disgusting.
And if you think about it, right? So I'm pretty sure the Clippers have two max slots.
They do, yes.
So now I don't think Jimmy Butler is staying. Now you have the opportunity to put Patrick Beverley, Jimmy Butler, and Kawhi Leonard on one team. And that would really change the entire face of the league.
Yeah.
Like Pat Beverley, there's a little bit of Pat Beverley dick sucking going on right now. And I'm not going to be a part of that fucking big Pat Beverley brand new fan club. So
no, he's always been good.
Yeah, but I'm saying I'm not going to be the guy that's like, oh, I've been a Pat Beverley fan. You know, cause But I'm a defense guy. So if he's probably the second best defender that's a guard in the league.
Okay. Yeah.
Second best guard defender in the league. Behind, of course, big DeJounte Murray.
Yeah, I knew it.
So I think Pat Beverley and Kawhi Leonard would be a great team up. And if you can get Jimmy Butler to add into that, that'd be something special.
Yeah.
That'd be something special.
Now, so. One thing that could mess up the Raptors that's not Kyle Lowry, what do you think that would be? Or do you think there's anything outside of Kyle that would actually mess up?
That would make the Sixers win the series?
Yeah.
On the Sixers part or on the Raptors part?
The Raptors.
Okay. God forbid, injuries probably. I just don't see there being a way the Raptors could do anything to lose the series. It would have to come from the Sixers. And what would have to happen is Joel Embiid being Joel Embiid from this regular season, you know, like Joel Embiid being Joel Embiid, like doing his damn thing, giving you 30, giving you 35 and 12, you know, type shit.
Yeah.
And Jimmy Butler being able to give you 25. But the problem with Jimmy Butler giving you 25 is because you have number two in Toronto, as Skip likes to call him, right there, fucking up your whole shit.
Yeah, after he left San Antonio, Skip was not a fan.
Yeah.
But so let's recap again. So we have Philly and Toronto in the semis. We have Toronto moving on. How many games do you think? Did you say you said six?
Yes, and you said five.
I said five.
All right, and then we had the Bucks moving on from the Celtics in seven.
That's going to be a war. That's going to be a war.
Yeah, that's going to be a war. But we're not going to speak on who's going to win that. Let's move on to the West.
The West.
And I think we should probably do the West and be done with this topic because we're at 45 minutes. Matter of fact, we have an ad we have to do.
No, we'll do that next episode.
Okay.
Because we can't do the double thing. We have to be recording it, with, you know.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
So we can do that later, next episode. But, okay, so we're going to go ahead and talk about the West, Golden State and Houston and Portland and Denver. After that, most likely we're going to be done with this episode.
Yes.
So where do you want to start off? Do you want to start off with Golden State and Houston or Portland and Denver?
They're both very interesting series. Since I don't know what the plural for series is.
Just because
they're both the very game, interesting.
The game for Portland just ended and Denver won.
Okay. So we could be wrong about our predictions. A little bit. Yeah,
we could be wrong, guys.
So let's start with Portland and Denver. Just because we just talked about the game and how we could be wrong with our prediction. Our prediction is the Blazers are beating the Nuggets.
The Nuggets.
So my thing was the Nuggets couldn't stop Derek White. So how did they expect to stop Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum?
Yeah.
Who are both
really good guards.
And who are both riding the momentum of very star-making games, or a star-making series.
Probably one of their best series ever played, to be honest.
Real talk.
They had a couple, I believe a week of rest, I want to say, before they actually faced Denver, because Denver faced San Antonio on Saturday,
Yeah, and we took it all the way to seven. So they just got out of a war. I think that the reason the Nuggets won this one had to do a lot with the fact that they're still riding the momentum of winning their first playoff series in, like, years. It was a long time.
2012, I want to say, or something like that.
Yeah, it's on Instagram somewhere.
Yeah.
If you really want to know if it's really that big of a deal, it's on Instagram somewhere. So the thing is with them, I think I just can't see them beating the Blazers. I think Jamal Murray's good. I think Nikola Jokic is a superstar. Bonafide superstar. I think he is a top 10 player in the league, and I think he's 10.
I heard people say on TV, you know, like the ESPN analysts and stuff like that. Now, they think that Jokic could be an MVP caliber player sometime down the road.
I agree.
You agree with that?
Yes. But the thing is, centers haven't really been in the MVP conversation in a while.
In a long time. I think the last center would probably be Shaq. I mean, you can count Tim Duncan if you want to count him as a center, but, you know. He could play both, I believe.
I can look that up right now, as a matter of fact. I'm going to search that up and see when the last time a center or a big man was the MVP.
Well, if we're counting big man, then it would be Tim Duncan.
No, it would not.
No, it would be
Kevin Garnett in 2004.
No, and because...
Yes, it is. 2004, no. Kevin Garnett. Oh, Dirk no, in 2007. Dirk, in 2007.
Yeah, Dirk. That's what so, I was yeah. going to say. So it's been since 2007.
That's 12 years yeah. since the last time a big man was the MVP.
And honestly, and that's... Dirk doesn't play like a big man, though.
He plays like... Dirk is like...
Dirk is honestly his own category.
So Dirk is Dirk, man. He's fucking huge, and he shoots over everyone, and his fader is disgusting. He's Dirk, you know.
So if we want to be, I guess, technical, then Garnett was the last big man to win.
Yeah, the last pure big man. But yeah. with Jokic, he resembles Dirk more than Kevin Garnett.
Yeah. I agree.
So I just don't think that.
But also,
I don't think it'll work like that.
You know, Sabonis' dad, Arvidas, he reminds me of him just because of the passing and everything else that he does.
Yeah, I mean, he's a triple double machine. He can put the ball on the floor. He can pass it off. He can get down there in the paint and throw elbows with the big men. He can be in a pick and roll situation where he's rolling or fading. He can. It's pretty much nothing on the court that he cannot do.
Yeah.
You know?
The only thing he can't do very well, I would say, is defense.
Yeah, but with that, the thing is, like, he's not a terrible defender anymore. He's not a negative on defense. He's just average. You can take advantage of him on defense, but it's not going to be, like, super-duper easy like it is taking advantage of a guard. You know?
No, he's not going to have, I guess, that big of an issue guarding other big man in this series in particular just because of Kanter.
No.
Hold on.
Kanter is heat. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Kanter, he's a scoring center.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's necessarily that physical. You know what I'm saying? I don't feel like he would be able to push around Jokic because – He's a big dude.
that's where I disagree with you because Kanter to me that's what he does. He gets down low. Hold on, I have to sneeze. Oh no, I'm good. He gets down low. He throws the bows. He gets into the paint. He digs into you and he puts the ball into the square on the hoop. You know. Yeah.
No, but this series in particular, Kanter is actually injured in his shoulder.
Oh, so, whoa!
Yeah. So he actually dunked in the series, in the game, game one. And he was, like, you know, kind of, like, massaging it. Like,
yeah, see, I just looked it up. He's holding it.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like he'll be playing in game two.
Yeah, so he was actually questionable for this game. So that's what I'm saying. So Kanter, this game was a non-issue just because of his shoulder. I mean, I understand you're injured. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So,
but with Kanter,
normally
I think that he'll be easy to take advantage of on defense.
Oh yeah,
he's not a good defender. Like you've seen the last series Devin Booker sent out.
What did he tweet?
It said because Kanter was trash talking Devin Booker or whatever. Like I never see team celebrate losing. You know, like that's what they do though. Phoenix, because they don't.
You got to be happy about something.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to be happy about something.
So, Book retweeted it and said, "Pick and roll at 00 every time," and that's Kanter's number. So that means anytime you see someone, you see him, you try to go for the pick and roll at him because he can't defend it because he sucks.
But the last series against the Thunder, he tried his heart out. He was trying everything. So he wasn't necessarily a bad defender last series. And he was average, I want to say, but he was honestly just trying his heart out. I think he was playing against the Thunder, and that's why. Yeah.
So, yeah, but he definitely outplayed Steven Adams in that series. And CJ went even. It's so surprising. And now you think back on trading Enes Kanter, and you're like, damn, we traded him for Carmelo, who we had for a season. He did nothing to help us.
Yeah.
And honestly, he did more to hurt us than help us because he was laughing at fucking playoff P. He was like, playoff P? What? Shut your ass up, nigga. You supposed to be,
man.
You are a teammate. Stop being an asshole. But with that whole situation, I think that the center thing, I think they're both not great defenders. And I think that both of them are going to have really good games on offense.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, so, I think one thing that would sway the series is Portland's bench. I feel like they have a better bench than Denver does.
Give me some people off of Portland's bench.
So you have Zach Collins, Seth Curry, Rodney Hood.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see who else. I can't think of anybody else off my top of my head.
Well, that's eight players, and they're usually, and teams generally have like a 9-man rotation.
Yeah.
So, but the thing is, the bench in Denver isn't anything to be trifled with or disrespected. They have a bunch of people you've never heard of. So, like Monte Morris, I believe that's his name. He's a point guard, right? He's just so smart. Okay, like he's just the perfect guard. He's just not really like a volume touches guy. Like you're not gonna get him a bunch of touches, but with his touches, you're not gonna ever see him fuck up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like his assist to turnover ratio is fucking astronomical. Like he might fuck around, get you 8 assists and no turnovers. Like he's that guy.
You know, actually, when I was watching the game, they said that. Jokic had a turnover, and apparently that was his first turnover in 80 minutes of game.
Of gameplay?
Yeah, going back to the San Antonio series, even.
Good God, that's amazing. That is fucking amazing. That's marvelous. But
yeah.
So you have, I believe his name is Monte Morris. You have. What?
Isn't Will Barton? Is he coming off the bench or is he starting?
I'm not exactly sure.
Because he's a solid player as well.
So it is Monte Morris. They got Trey Lyles. They got
Trey Lyles. Okay.
Malik Beasley. He's not nothing to fuck with. Tyler London. I don't know him. Juan Hernan Gomez. He's fucking good. Torrey Craig is good. Yeah, Mason Plumlee has been given them valuable minutes.
Mason Plumlee, he's going to be good. He's good.
Yeah, so for the Nuggets' bench, their bench is just it's not bad either, you know? You know what I'm saying? Led by Monte Morris, I think that could possibly be one of the top 5 benches in the league right now. So the bench-on-bench action will be – that's not going to be easy for either team because they
it's a good matchup.
Yeah.
Starting 5 and then also their bench guys.
Yep. So with the 4 spot, though, because we started at the 5 and then we went to the bench, we might as well go to the 4. The 4 spot, the Nuggets have that. The Nuggets have it. They have Paul Millsap against Al-Farouq Aminu.
Aminu's good. I like Aminu though, but
he's good. Paul Millsap, I like him too. Yeah. But Millsap is just
all star.
It's not even close.
Yeah. Wait. But did we forget? We can't forget about Derek White having that crazy poster dunk on this man. He has a family. Well,
Derek White is a god, so you know you can't really fault him.
But This matchup, who do you think starting 5 favors? I believe it would be Portland, in my opinion.
Well, with the thing is, like, it doesn't favor either team. See, because Portland's starting 5, once you get past the 2, they're not like, spectacular. There's nobody there that's, like, really fucking good. But with the Nuggets starting five, everybody is solid.
It's solid. But
nobody is better than the two best players on the opposite team. So yeah. I don't think that either team is, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but
I don't think that either team has the advantage.
If Jokic Nurkic never got injured,
then I'd probably give it to them.
Yeah, the series would be good Nurkic. Just because Nurkic can defend as well as score, and you know,
yeah, Bullets, so
you know, pass around, get his assist. We have Portland winning the series. Now, do you know how many games?
With this, I'll probably say, as long as the Nuggets just don't get fucking tired, which is possible. As long as the Nuggets don't get tired, it'll probably take probably like 7 games.
Yeah, I would say 6 or 7.
7 to 6.
Yeah.
6 or 7 games. So, yeah.
So we have, I can see this. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I could see this being a knockdown dragout that nobody watches, like the Spurs series.
It's going to be on NBA TV.
Man, it hurt. It hurt because that's a good – bro, those were two great – that was a good matchup.
Yeah, so they went to 7. It was the only series. The only series.
Yeah, so now that that's out the way, where were you going with this?
I don't remember, but we can transition to Golden State in Houston.
Yeah, we can transition to Golden State in Houston.
Okay, so Golden State in Houston.
This is going to be the easiest one.
Golden State,
I probably shouldn't have to look up anything.
Maybe you can look up how many free throws James Harden gets in the regular season.
It was 11. I don't have to look that up either. 11 free throws per game.
Are you sure? Where are you getting that from?
I heard it somewhere. I'll double check.
I want to say it was closer to 20. Like, for real.
Yeah, it's probably it might seem like it's a lot, but I think it's just like 11. I'm checking right now on Basketball Reference. Free throws attempted. Yep, this year, 11.
Can you hear me, Dimitri?
I can hear you. Yes. Hello? Can you hear me?
Yeah, we're having difficulties. I'm sorry.
Okay, well, I don't think he can hear me, but I'm saying it's just 11.
I can hear
11.
You. Can you hear me?
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I heard you the whole time. I never
lost. Wow, that's wild. That's wild. So it is 11. So what, 22 points then from free throw?
No, nigga. 11 free throws attempted. That's how
many just
free
11. Throws it is. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that's per game, and he averaged points per game. He averaged 36 this year. So without free throws, he probably averaged 25 points.
25, yeah.
Yeah, so that's damn near a third of his points.
That's a big fraction from that.
If we can – I'm just going to look at a different player, just a different star player. Give me a star player.
Let's go with Kyrie.
Kyrie Irving. Let's see, like, how big the differential is for these two players.
You know Kyrie, like, goes in the paint.
Yeah.
And stuff like that, so.
Wow, that is crazy.
How much?
Kyrie averages 3.7 free throws attempted.
Bro?
Yes, bro.
Oh, my God.
I swear to God. Let me see Giannis, because Giannis, he's a paint guy.
Okay, yeah.
That will be... That if this is if the differential was crazy there,
okay. I think the second person, I think James Harden leads it. I think the second person would be Joel. I think I read that somewhere.
So, Giannis has 9.5.
9, okay, but Giannis, he just lives in the paint.
Yeah, he's a 4. They have him listed as a 4 right here. Did he play point guard for the 2016 season?
Yeah.
Where?
Okay. You don't remember that?
Not really, no.
Bro, Jason Kidd, remember?
Oh, yeah, I do remember that, yeah. Actually. Because in my head, Giannis has been a point guard since then.
Yeah.
Let's see. Is the turnover ratio here? No? Okay, never mind. Turnover ratio is not here, unfortunately. But he averaged like 4 assists that season. So that's not bad. And he averaged 5.9 this year. So that's more than guard. I said. Huh?
I said not playing point guard.
Yeah, playing power forward. Anyway, back to our thing. Harden shoots 11 free throws per game, and he was complaining about, you know, them missing calls, but he shot, I believe, 14 free throws in that game, and that's well above his average.
And on top of that, you can't be mad if your whole offensive scheme is, you know, designed of getting those calls.
Yeah, and to be fair, that's not terrible. That's not a terrible offensive scheme when you have a team that fouls a lot. So it's not a bad idea, but you just have to understand that you're not going to always get those calls, and you can't base your entire game plan around that. Yeah. You have to put some other things. Like, and to put it in perspective, Clint Capella had 4 points that game.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. It was either PJ Tucker or Clint Capella. They had – one of them had 4 and one of them had 0. So they didn't have a good game. The team didn't have a great game. And they still only lost by 4 points. So you can't blame the refs on that when you just couldn't
– make shots.
Exactly. You guys just weren't making shots, man. And to be fair, Golden State wasn't faring much better. I believe I heard that Klay Thompson and Steph Curry combined for 5 for 15 from 3-pointer in that game. That's fucking awful.
Yeah, that's and abysmal. Curry had was in foul trouble. I believe in the first half. I think he had 3 or 4.
Steph had 5 fouls. He ended the game with 5 fouls.
Yeah, he ended the game with 5. I think in the ending the first half, he had 4. I think.
Fucking attack that. Why you didn't attack that?
And especially when you have James Harden, that he can draw the fouls.
Listen, this might not sound, you know, this might be easier said than done, but switch him to Clint Capella and let Capella go to work every single time down the court.
Yeah.
He's going to foul eventually. Get him the fuck out of there. Like, what are you doing? You know? Like, what the fuck are you doing? There's so many factors that went into them losing that they kind of just brushed it all over to the refs. It'll be interesting to see if they got fined for it. I don't think I've seen them get fined yet.
I think, you know who got fined? I think it was Kerr that got fined. I saw it on Twitter.
Which is some bullshit.
Yeah, you seen that?
I didn't hear it. But that's some bullshit if that's true.
Yeah, because he was, what's it called? He was doing an interview and he was talking about the refs, I guess not doing a good job on their side. Yeah.
Of course.
So I believe
they haven't been doing a good job in the last fucking 3 seasons. They suck ass.
Yeah.
If Mike D'Antoni doesn't get fined, if James Harden doesn't get fined, and Steve Kerr is the guy that gets fined, I think that's some bullshit, you know, because they literally called the refs out. Like, they were like, yo, call the game how it needs to be called. I just want a fair shot. Dude, you want to abuse the system. That's what you want to do. You don't want a fair shot. You want to abuse the system. And if they let you do that during the regular season every single year, and then during the playoffs, they cut you off every single year, and you were fucking high and dry. And you look like you just look like an average player every time.
Yeah. So and you go from MVP all the way to like a Reddick player.
Bro, like dead ass. Like just the high volume JJ Redick in the playoffs. Like, bro, come on, man. Yeah. You can't use the referees every fucking time.
As a scapegoat.
You know what I'm saying?
And this happened. You seen
not just as a scapegoat in the game. You can't use the referees every fucking time and expect that shit to work every fucking time.
You saw what they said, or he said that if it wasn't for the refs, they think they would be going to the finals last year.
And that's another load of baloney. They can't beat. Are you fucking seriously doing that? Like, dog.
If it wasn't for Chris Paul getting injured,
like he always fucking does,
every fucking year. Like, come on, now, you really, like, dead ass. Like every, like, I don't know, bro. This nigga James Harden, when he plays, it just makes me say, really. Like, there was last series when that nigga went 0 for whatever and barely made a shot in that Utah game.
Oh yeah, yeah.
There was a video of this nigga getting his beard lightly brushed by somebody's shoulder
and, yeah, and
running by.
And then he goes like somebody choke slammed him or something.
Ah, yeah. Fucking grabs his neck like, ah, like, come on, bro. Like, that ass. But yeah. But let's get into it. Like, with that whole with this whole series, it genuinely can go either way.
Genuinely. Do you honestly think that?
Yeah. It could go either way. I just don't think that it's going to go the way that the Houston Rockets wanted to.
I think it would be Golden State in five. I want to say
five.
In five.
Damn. Five.
Five.
I would at least said six, and no, I'm going with seven, but five?
Five. I can't, bro. If KD's been dropping, what, 40?
Yeah.
Each game KD's after
his goddamn thing.
After he said, you know who I am,
he's bro, been
dropping.
KD. They I'm tired of niggas shitting on KD. All right. He did a bitch move, but it's done now. All right. And he's been there 3 years now. Don't get off his nuts about it now. So, stop acting like he ain't who he is. The nigga is a top tier NBA player. He's the best player in second best player in the league behind Kawhi Leonard. That's a hot take.
That's a very hot take. One of these days, we're going to do an episode full of hot takes, so be on the lookout for that. But concluding that, I think Golden State's winning that
series. Okay. What do you think the Houston Rockets can do to win that series?
I think they have to make shots, stop relying on the refs calling, you know,
fouls. Go, yeah, instead of going to get the call, go to get the shot.
Yeah, you know? Worry about the shot, and then if the call happens, the call happens. Now, they have to put a body on hard or not hard. I'm sorry, KD.
That's where we disagree.
Bro, it has to be.
There's nothing you can do.
No, I know that. Durant. I know that, but something, you know, maybe.
Send all the players at him.
Try to send him to foul trouble. Do what they do with Giannis.
What you do is you send everybody at him and force everybody else to make shots. And Steph's gonna come up small because it's the playoffs, and you know he does that every fucking time. The only person I'd probably be worried about was Clay. Yeah, and maybe Andre Iguodala. And that's not like a. I don't see Andre Iguodala dropping 20, but he can eat you up in the paint.
Yeah.
And it can really fuck you up.
He hits shots when he needs to.
Yeah. And aside from that block, that like he would have made that layup if he didn't get fucking ran by fucking LeBron. If LeBron didn't run his booty hole in his pockets in that moment, he would have made that layup. And that's a pretty clutch shot, you know? But you got to dunk that, though. Dunk that.
Now, I think they also should make Draymond shoot.
Force Draymond to shoot.
Yeah.
Force him to shoot. And teams have been doing it all year. Teams have been doing it they did it in the last series. The Clippers did it in the last series. And it's been working.
Yeah. So,
you know, that's
make him shoot specifically.
Take PJ Tucker. Wait, who do you have? Who do they have guarding KD? Who would they have guarding KD?
I think it is PJ.
So, PJ Tucker, so whoever they have guarding Draymond, come double KD.
KD,
on the three line. And then you have, then you make sure Capella stays in the paint, so there's no way that Draymond can get that drive. And there you go.
So, I believe
and Bogut's hitting shots. Bogut can't really do anything.
Hitting shots. Stop worrying about the refs. Just play. If a foul happens and they call it good, if they don't, just stop complaining, because there was this thing that Chris Paul tried to shoot a three. You know, he thought he got fouled, so he was complaining to the refs. On the other side, Steph got the ball, threw it to KD on a fast break, and he just had an open lane.
Yeah, so like you can't When has complaining to the referee ever worked?
Yeah. I would say do it at halftime.
Do it during dead ball.
Yeah. Hey, I thought I got fouled, next time, you know.
Can you watch out for that?
Yeah. Stuff like that.
Because they're mauling me out there. Can you watch out for this call right here? And be respectful.
Yeah.
And don't constantly do it every fucking chance you get. Like, you know, it's like with the police. You get pulled over. If you're, like, combative and you're constantly being an asshole, then asshole shit's going to happen to you. If you get pulled over and you're kind of joking, of course, there's always going to be a bad cop and that's going to fuck with you. But if you're getting pulled over and you're kind of joking with him and you're treating him like he's an actual dude, then he's probably going to, you know, give you a slap on the wrist or give you a ticket and let you go. And, you know, and it'll be over.
Nothing less.
You know what I'm saying? And it'll be done. So with talking to the referees, you just come at them like, yo, bro, listen, I feel like I got fouled here. Can you not only look at it and tell me, or you don't even have to look at it and tell me because I know I got fouled. But if you look at it and watch for it during the next play or during the next two quarters or during the next several games, if you're going to be continuing to referee, can you make sure that that's handled? Because I feel like I'm being fouled.
Right.
And earlier you said that's what the Warriors did. They feel like I don't know what the word for that would be, but they feel like they're getting taken advantage of because of Harden's using the referees and not always actually being fouled.
Now, on each side, we have in the conference finals, we have Milwaukee and Toronto, Golden State and Portland. Now, so I believe we should stop at least.
Yeah, that's what I was just about to say. Yeah, we should let that be its own thing.
So next episode,
yeah,
most likely is going to be over the weekend.
Yes, sir. And we're gonna talk about that. And if we have time, you mind if we get into some free agency talk?
Free agency talk, yes. Maybe some awards.
Oh yeah, that too. Or we probably should go for the awards before the free agency talk. We'll talk about free agency whenever.
And then we most likely also are going to be watching a live game for some commentary and, you know, feedback about that game as well.
Okay, and so, you know,
is there anything else that we want to add? I mean, shout out your Twitter.
Yeah, you know, on Twitter. On IG, I'm Meech Rose. Or no, okay. On Twitter or IG, it's just Meech Rose at @MeechRose. On Snapchat, I ain't giving you all that, but but go follow me. Try to get this follower count up. My fucking follower count is trash. My
ratio garbage. Help us out.
It was real talk. And Yovani, what's your stuff for?
Follow me on Twitter, Big Yovani. BIGYOVANI on Instagram. I have some videos of me and Dimitri hooping. If you guys want to check that out, so it's going to be Big_Yovani YOVANI. So we are going to wrap this up.
I'll close it out, bro.
All right, go ahead. Take it away.
All right. It's been a little bit over an hour, so we're going to close it up. I am Meech Rose, that is Big Yovani. We are the From the Logo podcast. We'll be at you again soon.
All right, peace out.
Peace.